top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good morning. This is the morning news for today, Thursday, May 25th, 2023. I'm your presenter, Felix Involvement, in the headlines.
Q, top of the
Justice Dr. Irvin Andrews says electoral and campaign finance reform will unlock the safe for all Dominicans to receive what is due and will release the long-suffering captive people's creative potential.
Right on, Q.
FIFA and the World Health Organization have decided to continue working together to spread the message of healthy lifestyles and equal access to healthcare around the world. And UN Human Rights Commissioner Volker Turk has urged Sudan's generals to stop the senseless violence after fighting was heard in the capital of the country despite a week-long ceasefire.
Station.
Details coming up next.
DA.com. Right on cue.
Justice Dr. Irvin Andrews says electoral reform is the key to unlocking the safe from which all Dominicans will receive what is rightfully due to them, like a living wage and the release of all captive and long-suffering Dominicans' creative potential. He emphasizes that it is essential to distribute the money so that all Dominicans have access to it rather than just a selected few foreigners. This specifics, among others, he continues, are critical for Dominican youths to be able to shout something like Toujou Twavai rather than Toujou Sou.
Think of it as the key to open the vault where all shall receive what they deserve, rather than the lucre from the sale of passports. To build schools, well-equipped hospitals, and sports facilities for all. Think of electoral reform as the grain that will provide a living wage for all Dominicans. Think of it as the key that opens the door to free the creative potential of all captive and long-suffering Dominicans. The key to place wealth in the hands of all Dominicans rather than in the hands of foreigners. The key which will open the classroom where Dominican youth can shout Toujou Twavai rather than Toujou Sou. Think of it for inspiration to exercise your constitutional right of assembly, of freedom of speech, and of freedom of association. Think of it as the sacred words of Psalm 23 gushes to your lips. The Lord is your shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures rather than on a patched landscape of poverty and political victimization.
Justice Andrew added that the cry for electoral reform is the rallying cry to the rescue the soul of Dominicans from the fires of greed, selfishness, and deceit.
Think of it as you take your rightful place with your fellow patriots on May 31st. And mutter as you walk, as I walk through the valley of death or on the banks of the Rosal River, I fear no evil. Think of it as you utter the words of Amos, let justice roll on like a fast flowing river and righteousness like a mighty stream. Or if your dreadlocks mean anything at all, think of it as the affirmation of Psalm 27, quote, the Lord is my shepherd or my light and my salvation. So what shall I fear? And so the cry up for electoral reform is not just an empty slogan by people who lost an election. It is a rallying cry to rescue the soul of Dominica from the raging fires of greed, selfishness, and deceit.
He concluded that Dominicans have claimed to billions of dollars that they ought to have deposited in the Consolidated Fund because they have the right to live and love on the land of their forefathers. They should imitate their brothers and sisters on some of the islands who have no trouble expressing their constitutional rights without being bothered by repressive, manipulative, or regional forces.
I stand to bring back the billions of dollars hidden in mysterious accounts that should have been deposited in the Consolidated Fund. I stand to ensure that when an institution gives Dominica $30 million for COVID or hurricane relief, all shall eat. I stand to ensure that you prosper by the sweat of your brow rather than by the sale of your soul. I stand to ensure that Dominicans are masters in their own land, whether they live in Wesley, Chimelita, or Lacus Atlan. And so patriots will follow the example of their brothers and sisters in St. Vincent, in Jamaica, in Antigua, and in some of the other islands who have no difficulty exercising their rights under their constitution without being harassed by regional or local forces. The patriots of Dominica, to quote the Desiderata, are no less than the trees and the stars. They have a right to be here, a right to live and love on the land of their forebears, of their forefathers, a land so rich and so rare.
And that was Justice Dr. Irvin Andre, proprietor of JD's Naturals and a beneficiary of the United Nations Development Program Future Tourism Grant Funding. Jody Dublin Dangaben shared her words of appreciation and conveyed her testimonial statement. She acknowledged the organization for awarding her the grant and explained how the cause she pursued with the funding would support the ongoing expansion of her business and contribute to Dominica's progress. She emphasized that the COVID-19 outbreak intensified the difficulties encountered by businesses, resulting in a significant negative impact on proprietors.
I'm Jody Dublin Dangleben, the owner of JD's Naturals, where we produce household products with the use of our local ingredients, herbs, and the remedial indigenous culture here on island. I am so greatly honored to be here today to express my gratitude to the United Nations Development Program for their Future Tourism Business Adaptation courses and the grant that they have provided us today for the continued development and growth of our businesses and in turn Dominica. As a small business owner, I have always been aware of the challenges that come with running a business, so greatly amplified in our Caribbean region, especially in the competitive tourism industry. However, with the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic, those challenges became even more daunting. Our businesses were severely impacted by the pandemic, and most of us, if not all of us, struggled to stay afloat. We were faced with the difficult task of adapting and innovating in order to survive.
According to her, the course she and other beneficiaries took equipped them with the required tools and knowledge to adjust their business to the changing landscape of the tourism sector.
In timely fashion, the UNDP's Future Tourism Business Adaptation Program became available. These courses provided me with the tools and knowledge we needed to adapt our business to the new realities of the tourism industry. We learned about new trends, technologies, and best practices that helped us to pivot and transform our business model. I jotted down every note, every advice, and I also ensured that I downloaded every supplementary document in multiple places because to me, the information provided was priceless to my business. I have found myself even frequently referring back to those notes since the completion of the program. The grant provided is also instrumental in helping us implement those changes. We will now be able to invest in new technologies, improve our online presence, and even provide better services to our customers.
Jody Dublin Dangaben, proprietor of JD's Naturals and a recipient of the United Nations Development Program Future Tourism Grant Funding. Meanwhile, Chief Executive Officer of Discover Dominica Authority, Colin Piper, provided remarks on behalf of Tourism Minister Dennis Charles. Piper said the minister expressed gratitude to the United Nations Development Program on behalf of the government, acknowledging the organization as a long-standing development partner. The minister further emphasized the crucial and timely contributions made by UNDP towards supporting vulnerable sectors such as tourism.
Message. As the Minister for Tourism, it brings me contentment to warmly congratulate each of you, the beneficiaries of the second cohort of the UNDP FUT Tourism Business Adaptation Program. This program started off in 2021 under the then Ministry of Tourism, International Transport and Maritime Initiative. During that time, we handed over grants to the first cohort consisting of 22 MSME, which were directly or indirectly involved in the tourism sector. Today, we see the realization of a second cohort, which cumulatively equates to 26 MSMEs benefiting under this program. We as a government therefore thank the UNDP as a long-standing developmental partner. Your contribution to these vulnerable sectors is pivotal and timely. The Ministry of Tourism plays an important role in Dominica's economic development. Through this ministry, the government has been able to develop and implement varied tourism policies which have created the atmosphere for MSMEs to seamlessly fit and thrive within the tourism sector.
In the statement, it was indicated that Dominica's tourism products continue to evolve and reach a level of maturity. The ministry's primary emphasis in both the short term and medium term pertains to the endeavors related to enhancing products and promoting accessibility.
In the recent past, we have seen the surfacing of Dominica's tourism potential in multiple prestigious magazines and networks, namely Travel and Leisure, Time Magazine, CNN, Forbes, and Lonely Planet, coupled with the extensive investment over the years in high-end luxury resorts and upgrades to our scenic natural sites. This investment has a multiplier effect since it brings about increased tourism arrivals to the island, who then immerse in the abundance of product and service offerings, most of which are provided by MSMEs. As our tourism product matures, our focus in the immediate and medium term rests within product development and access related activities. These activities will all contribute tremendously in positioning the MSME sector to benefit from the ripple effect through the sale of food, tours, taxi services, accommodation and entertainment, to name a few. Importantly, even as we augment, there is the need for maintenance of standards, hence training and development in line with the prerequisites of the tourism sector will be mandated.
And that was Colin Piper, CEO of Discover Dominica Authority, delivering remarks on behalf of Dennis Charles, Minister of Tourism. Also in your local news, the Food and Agriculture Organization, in collaboration with the Ministry of Agriculture and the Inter-American Institute for Cooperation on Agriculture, trained Dominican farmers on CMOS production. Led by the Sub-Regional Coordinator for FAO, Dr. Renita Clark, the training and stakeholder validation workshops was held from May 15th to 20th, 2023. Clark said the overall objective of the training and validation seminar is to equip Dominicans with the skills necessary for increased CMOS production to enable them to export their processed CMOS to international markets. The training facilitators conducted assessment for CMOS cultivation sites, taught affordable strategies for producing CMOS products, and gave out safety tools and equipments for production. The FAO coordinator said there is an existing CMOS production base in Dominica and that people already produced bottled CMOS beverages and CMOS that could be used for medicinal purposes. She said with high-quality CMOS, the material can be used in the food and beverage industry as well as in the manufacturing sector. She said CMOS is also used as an indicative for several consumer products. According to her, many countries around the world cultivate CMOS in large quantities, and Dominica must be strategically positioned to compete favorably with other producers in other countries. She said CMOS must not only be cultivated in the wild, but also in commercial varieties across coastal communities around the country. The trainees and trainees went around several communities where CMOS can be grown and harvested. The organizers agreed to empower free farmers' cooperatives in Calabishi, Woodford Hill, and Granby to cultivate and process the red seaweed at local commercial agro-processing centers. The training seminar was attended by CMOS farmer cooperatives, agro-processors, retailers, exporters, and government stakeholders. Alleged draft electoral reform legislation has sparked a heated debate among politicians and citizens alike. Some argue that the reforms are necessary to prevent voter fraud and ensure the integrity of elections. Others see them as blatant attempt to suppress the voices of certain groups and consolidate power in the hands of a few. In his critique of the legislation, Justice Dr. Irvin Andre argues that it is dangerous. He points out that reforms will make it easier for those in power to manipulate election outcomes and undermine democracy. Instead of promoting transparency and accountability, they will create a system in which those with the most resources and influence can control the outcome of elections. This, he argues, is a recipe of disaster and could lead to widespread disillusionment with political process.
Based on the draft reports I have seen, there is a Frankenstein monster that looks among the reeds and the bushes of the electoral reforms proposed by this legal luminary. The proposed reforms, if they are enacted, will do little to curb profligate spending by a party with unlimited access to the proceeds of sale of Dominican passports. They will do nothing to stop the wholesale transportation of foreign-based Dominicans to vote for the party which pays their passage. They will do nothing to remove the dead from the scrolls of the voters' list. They have nothing to propose to ensure that the Electoral Reform Commission does its job to ensure free and fair elections. On the contrary, the reforms collectively place a venomous snake in the cage of free and fair elections, and in so doing, ensure that free and fair elections will do nothing to periodic changes in government which voters may seek or desire.
Justice Andre emphasizes that electoral and campaign finance reforms are necessary for the future of the nation, and that appropriate reforms are the only way to guarantee free and fair elections in Dominica. They are viewed as a battle against those who want to keep Dominicans in a state of relenting poverty and mendicancy, as well as forces of greed and lords of darkness. He also points out that the reforms should be viewed as the key of opening the vault where everyone will receive what they deserve from the proceeds of the sale of passports.
Many persons still do not grasp the significance of electoral reforms, which is the only way to ensure free and fair elections in Dominica. Many still do not fully grasp why this goal is so crucial to the future of Dominica, a gift so rich and rare. Many well-meaning persons still believe that it is a problem concocted by the United Workers Party, one which therefore is not worth fighting for. Think of electoral reform in the terms laid out in the Good Book. We fight not against the flesh and blood of those who are hell-bent to enrich themselves on the backs of poor and the sick, on the backs of the weak and the disabled. Think of it as a fight against the powers of greed, against the rulers of the darkness rather than of the light, against those who seek to have you remain in a state of perpetual poverty and beggary rather than one of prosperity. Think of electoral reform as the key that will unlock the dark dungeon of despair in which thousands of Dominicans languish. Think of it as the key to the door which will ensure that all shall eat, rather than a selfish few eat all.
Justice Dr. Irvin Andre. Attorney Gabriel Christian claims that DLP regime leaders felt scared has created a monstrous situation in Dominica, which is no longer the democracy it was born into, even if it may be imperfect. Christian observes that Roosevelt scared chose Sir Dennis Byron without consultation with the opposition, and he has been unable to deliver the unelectoral reform that a grouping of organizations has outlined. He explained that these reforms would include campaign finance reform, cleaning electoral list, and a residency requirement.
Roosevelt Skerrit, without any consultation with the opposition, chose Byron, paid him a handsome retainer. And Byron, in almost three or more years, has been unable to deliver on the electoral reform that the Commonwealth of Nations have outlined is needed, that the Organization of American States have outlined in detail that is needed, that the CARICOM or Caribbean community has outlined. And what are those things they've outlined? Campaign finance reform, so that this government or any government cannot use its largesse from sources known or unknown to buy elections. Number two, that the campaign be run off an electoral list that is purged of the dead and those who have not been resident in the constituencies within the parameters of the residency requirement.
He continued by claiming that Roosevelt Skerrit's government does not want electoral reform due to fear of criminal prosecutions. Christian also states that during his reign as Prime Minister, he has had a few command as ambassadors to Dominica, many of whom have either been prosecuted or are in the process of being prosecuted for fraud or money laundering. It is believed that these individuals were responsible for moving millions and billions of dollars out of the nation, which has understandable cause concern among those in power.
We know why this government, led by Roosevelt Skerrit, who is the prevaricator in chief, does not want electoral reform. And that is because he has a lot to be fearful of. He's afraid of criminal prosecution for the crimes that it is alleged he has committed. But we know that he, while prime minister, under his watch, had one con man called Rudolph King as an ambassador of Dominica. Has a mobster by the name of Angela Psen as an ambassador of Dominica. Has another fraudster and con woman by the name of Alison Maduke as the ambassador of Dominica, extraordinary and plenipotentiary. All of those persons have either been prosecuted or are in the process of being prosecuted for crimes. And when they were arrested, they were all arrested with a conveyance. The conveyance that allowed those persons to ingress and egress, and that is to enter and to exit nation state ports and airports without being searched. Why would they not want to be searched? That is how they move the missing millions and billions. And so they're afraid. They're afraid to lose power.
And that was Attorney Gabriel Christian. In other news, FIFA and the World Health Organization have reached a consensus to prolong their joint efforts and persist in employing the influential platform of football to advocate for equitable access to health services and the adoption of healthy lifestyle on the global stage. At the 66th World Health Organization Assembly that took place in Geneva, Switzerland, a memorandum of understanding that had been enacted on the 4th of October 2019 was extended by Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus, the Director General of the World Health Organization, and Gianni Infantino, the President of FIFA, for a duration of 4 years. The director stated that promoting healthy lives, safe stadiums, and the advantages of physical and mental exercise are only a few of the various health goals, and the WHO is delighted to continue scoring with FIFA for the next 4 years. He went on to state that WHO is excited to continue this journey and that their relationship with FIFA has already been successful in spreading evidence-based messages to assist people of all ages lead healthier and safer lives via the power of football and sports. And in a direct appeal to two warring generals, Volker Turk, the United Nations human rights head, called the situation in Sudan heartbreaking and urged them to put an end to sexual abuse and preserve civilian lives. More than a month of fighting in Sudan has resulted in the deaths of hundreds of civilians and the immigration of over a million people. Despite a truce, Volker Turk claimed his office had heard reports of fighter jets and fighting in the capital overnight on Wednesday.
Clashes between rival military factions could be heard overnight in parts of Sudan's capital, residents said on Wednesday. And that's despite a week-long ceasefire designed to allow for the delivery of aid and lay the ground for a more lasting truce.
Civilians must be spared, and you must stop this senseless violence now.
In Geneva, the UN's High Commissioner for Human Rights, Volker Turk, described the situation as heartbreaking.
In spite of successive ceasefires, and they keep making these arrangements, we see that they get observed in their breach almost within hours after these arrangements are signed. We see how civilians continue to be exposed to serious risk of death and injury. I mean, overnight we received reports of fighter jets across Khartoum and clashes in some areas of the city, as well as gunfire heard Khartoum North and in Omdurman.
Turk also said he was deeply troubled by reports of sexual violence in Khartoum and Darfur. He called on Army Chief General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan and General Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo, leader of the paramilitary Rapid Support Forces, to issue clear instructions to those under their command that there is zero tolerance for sexual violence and that perpetrators of all violations would be held accountable. The ceasefire deal, following Saudi and US-mediated talks, comes after 5 weeks of intense warfare. previous truces have failed to stop the fighting, which has sent more than 1 million people fleeing their homes and plunged the country deep into a humanitarian crisis.
That's the morning news, and here's a recap of the headlines. Justice Dr. Irvin Andrews says electoral and campaign finance reform will unlock the sea for all Dominicans to receive what is due and will release the long-suffering captive people's creative potential. FIFA and the World Health Organization have decided to continue working together to spread the message on healthy lifestyles and equal access to healthcare around the world. And UN Human Rights Commissioner Volker Turk has urged Sudan's generals to stop the senseless violence after fighting was heard in the capital of the country despite a week-long ceasefire.
It happens.
I've been your presenter for this environment.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and